72-68, Charlotte with the lead. MJ with the post-up. Mourning over to double team. Wennington again with a slam! And finally, the Bulls are starting to make Charlotte pay for that double team, Jeff.
That's right. The man's going hard to the basket. Wennington at two hoops.
You can hear Bill Wennington alongside Chuck Swirsky for Bulls broadcast. Bill was there for the last three championships in 96, 97, and 98, and is featured in the ESPN 10-part docuseries The Last Dance, and Bill Wennington joins us now. Bill, are you having as much fun watching as we are?
Oh, absolutely. It's a great trip down memory lane. It's bringing back a flood of wonderful memories, and it's very accurate the way things are being portrayed right now. The one thing I would hope that people understand is that the 12 guys in that locker room were a real cohesive unit. So I know they've already mentioned stuff about Scotty and his things and Dennis being different and late and the stuff going on with Jerry Krause, but we were a real cohesive unit. So everything that is portraying did happen and was true, but inside that locker room, we were a unit and a family, and we all liked each other and got along real well. So it wasn't like those were issues with us. Those are issues that people like to talk about, that are
right.
Social issues and sports issues that, hey, look at this. Oh, this guy did that and this guy. But as a team, that's one of the most cohesive groups of guys I've ever been with.
Well, you got to have drama in these series to keep people, because it's just not about sports. This is a soap opera happening, and we all lived it in the 90s, or most of us did, that are watching and just glued to the TV. But the first week, we were so mad that Monday at Jerry Krause. Last Monday, we were so mad we hated the Pistons again. I forgot how much I love to hate the Pistons.
That hasn't changed at one bit. And it's been great to see the fallout of what's going on. You're having all the old Detroit guys coming on. Isaiah Thomas goes on TV and talks about how disappointed he is, that if he was left on the Dream Team because of that, and you know all the backlash he's taking. But listen, for every decision every single one of us makes every day, there's consequences. And to hear Isaiah Thomas talk about, oh, he's upset and disappointed, dude, that's what's going to happen when you make decisions. And, yeah, we regret decisions we make in the past. That's what it is. That's what happens, especially today with social media and everything.
Right.
And obviously he made a decision not to shake hands. I wasn't there for it, but I had played against Detroit in those bad day times when I was with the Dallas Mavericks and the Sacramento Kings. They weren't liked by anyone.
No one.
So for him to do that, now complain about it, you know, 20-some-odd, 30 years later, I'm sorry, that's just the way it was. You got to live with those things. Move on from it. Get over it.
Yeah, they're whining now. Here we are. This is why I love Chicago. It's 29 years later, and we still can't stand the Detroit Pistons.
That'll never change. Oh, and trust me, the Boston Celtics hate the Detroit Pistons, too.
Right.
I know why they walked off the floor. But I will say this, was that the right thing to do for Boston? No, but two wrongs don't make a right. And it's actually worse for Detroit because they knew how they felt when Boston did it, yet they decided to do it themselves. So Isaiah Thomas and Bill Laimbeer, who I even hate saying his name these days, he was the guy I hated to play against most of the NBA because he was a whiner
right.
And a cheap shot artist at that. But that's besides the point. A very good basketball player. Don't get me wrong. Isaiah Thomas, a fantastic basketball player. One of the best, one of the 50 best in NBA history. Absolutely. You know, the things they did on the floor, other than just play basketball, were not good.
And his legacy will forever be tarnished. Here's a Chicago kid that didn't shake Michael Jordan's hand to pass the baton and will never, ever forget that. We're talking to Bill Wennington. I got to ask you about last week's episode with Dennis Rodman. I remember at the time when the news reports, no social media back in 98, Dennis went to Vegas. So we'd see it in the newspaper the next day, the Sun-Times or the Chicago Tribune. That was such a weird time where he walked in and had a conversation with Phil and said, I need a few days off. And now knowing Phil Jackson, yeah, you can do it. Let's talk to Michael and we'll work this thing out.
And that's why Phil Jackson is such a great coach. He really understands people and what they need. And Phil even said, you know, he knew Dennis kind of walked to his own beat a little bit. And back in the day when Phil was playing, he was kind of the same way a little bit. So he really understood it.
Right.
But other than that, Phil really understood how to keep everybody on the same page. And at that time, he felt that Dennis needed a little bit of break. And Dennis had been fantastic before that. I mean, Scotty was out, and Dennis was a model citizen, so to speak. So he needed a little time to blow it off. Now, it's a little bit misleading. I don't think that Michael went out to Vegas to take Dennis up. I don't remember it that way.
I don't remember that either, but go ahead.
But it kind of led you into that. But there were times, I'm sure, Dennis was, his home where he was living was 5 minutes from practice. So I'm sure there were times, and it may have been at the end of that trip where Michael went to his house to go get him. Because I know our assistant trainer, Wally Blaze, had to do that several times. That was part of his job to make sure Dennis was at practice, and he'd have to go over to his house and get him. So I will not argue that happened. I'm 99% sure that happened. But I don't know about Michael making a trip out to Vegas to go get Dennis. I think that was kind of let in. But I'm pretty sure Michael's gone over to his house a couple times to go get him to come to practice.
You know, 1998, the third championship, you had two under your belt with the team. And they show you during this series, you have a camera with you. So you documented a lot of this season, the last season. Where is that footage? Have you put it together? And are you glad that you did it?
I'm very glad I did it. I even got Luke Longley on tape. Can't remember if it was in the playoffs, but we're just coming off a shoot around, and I'm sitting down, I'm filming guys and all the media that's coming around because it is the playoffs. And Luke says, I know we give you a lot of crap for the video camera, but you know what? I bet in 20 years it's going to be pretty cool to have that. And he's absolutely right. It is. And I took a lot. As you saw, Michael was busting my chops. He did that quite often with the video camera. But they asked me for the film, if I had tapes, if I'd give them to or let them use them for the Last Dance documentary. And I thought about it, but I told the guys I'd never do it. I'd never let them out. And I kind of held on to them and told them no. But I actually, when they asked, went back and started looking at tapes. I actually saw that part on my film. And you get it from my perspective of Michael walking on the plane,
right,
and busting my chops. So it's pretty cool to see that.
God, I love it. I miss it so much, and I'm sure, you know, you lived it. I'm sure you look back and just smiled. We're talking with Bill Wennington, who was on the Bulls championship teams, 96, 97, and 98. Bill, I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to have you take me behind the scenes of what it was like to play with Michael Jordan. But don't forget, tonight on ESPN, The Last Dance starts at 8 o'clock. More with Bill next on 720 WGN.
And there is Michael Jordan with 27 on the game, and the Bulls lead by 5 again.
Tonight on ESPN, two more shows tonight. The 10-part ESPN docuseries, The Last Dance, featuring the last year of the 1998 Chicago Bulls. On the phone with us is Bill Wennington. Bill, you got to take me behind the scenes. What was it like playing with Michael Jordan?
It was phenomenal because I like winning, and he's a winner. Absolutely one of the best winners I've ever seen in my lifetime, if not the best. Could dominate a game single-handedly, but understood that it takes the whole team to win a championship. And that's why he was hard on you to play your best all the time. So for me, it was absolutely fantastic. And then just to watch him play every night, and what you guys will see a little bit, I think, in the upcoming episodes, because I haven't seen it, so I'm not sure, but you'll see a little bit more practice.
Okay.
Just how he competes in practice every day. At 100%, giving it his all the time and demanding that of everyone else on the floor. And if you weren't doing what you're supposed to do or stepping up to the challenge, he was going to get on you and let you know about it and make your life difficult until you got back in line and started pulling your own weight.
A lot of people don't remember. They, of course, remember that Michael Jordan could score, but he and Scotty made the NBA all-defensive team every single year.
Yeah, we're fortunate in Chicagoland that we've been able to see NBC Sports replays that when basketball was canceled. They started running old Bulls games from the championship years.
Right.
And I didn't watch them all. I missed the first couple because I was like, I've been there, lived it, done it. But then you run out of things to watch on TV. So I started watching a few of the games, and that's what impressed me the most, the defense, and just how good Michael and Scotty and Dennis and Ron Harper were. That brings back a lot of memories to me because we used to call them the Dobermans. And who let the dogs out? And, you know, that song came out.
Yes.
We had the dogs, and they locked teams down. If it was a close game, the last 4 minutes of the game, they could just literally stop teams from scoring for 4 minutes.
Gosh, I missed that.
And it was just absolutely phenomenal.
I missed that. In 98, you guys had 97, 98, you guys had a target on your back. Which teams did you hate?
Personally, I think as a team, it was pretty much collective. New York and Indiana.
Right.
They were two teams. New York was always a tough battle and very physical. And that rivalry had been growing for years through the first three championships and before, and maintained through. But the Reggie Miller-led Indiana Pacers, they were good. And Reggie, as you know, liked to talk trash.
Oh, yeah.
When in one game, it was amazing. He took a bow at the United Center where he hit a shot with, I think, 3 seconds left. And then I believe Tony Kukoc made the shot after that to win the game, so bowed back. But that's just what was going on at the time. Trash talking and hard physical play was going on. And Indiana battled us. As a matter of fact, that 98 season, of all three championships, that was our toughest playoff round ever. Of those three, of the three championship teams I was on, the second three-peat, they took us to seven games and
yeah.
actually had the lead twice in the game early on, and then again they had the lead in the middle of the third quarter or towards the beginning of the fourth quarter. They had the lead, and we were able to battle back, but really a tough team, well-played, well-coached team, and had great leadership, obviously, in Reggie.
Those Knicks games, every foul that the Knicks fouled us was a flagrant foul.
It wasn't called that.
No, but it was back today, in the day.
Well, that's the difference, too. Today, if you go by today's standards, the guys would get tossed from games for those fouls.
Right. Forget it. Yeah.
That's the way it played. And I'm not saying this game is better because of that. I think that's part of a strategy. You're letting guys play and taking advantage of the rules.
Bill, you and I have a history together. You were on my show when I was doing my first morning show in Rockford back in 97. We talked every single week throughout the season. I'd like to think
I remember that. I felt bad for you because they made you do it.
No, I loved it, man. And I remember because I was such a Bulls fan, I feel like I pushed you guys over the top to win that 97 championship.
It was, because after we talked on the phone all the time, I forgot to tell you this, but I went back in the locker room and told them exactly what you said.
Thank you.
And what we needed to do, and we did it.
Oh, thank you so much. And do you remember back in the day, they show all these celebrities that are at the games. Do you remember it was the who's who of Hollywood here in Chicago, especially that last year, because they knew that this was it for Michael Jordan?
Yeah, it was phenomenal, and obviously we had our favorites. You know, Siskel and Ebert were coming out, and oh my goodness, one of my favorite stripes.
Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis.
A Chicago guy. Harold
yes.
and I used to go out, and Harold was absolutely a spectacular human being, and I love him and his wife.
Right.
And his sons, and it was just a great time, and he was a huge fan, was around all the time. And it was fun. Obviously, he's not with us anymore, but
right.
Just a tremendous, tremendous guy and a great friend. And it was just a fun time to be, obviously, be a Bull, but to be in Chicago with all that was going on was a tremendous, tremendous time.
Wow. Well, tonight's ESPN 10-part docuseries, The Last Dance, two more episodes. Bill Wennington. Bill, you're the best, man. Thanks for taking time out.
All the best. Appreciate it, my man.
Well, have a great day, man. Thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
All right. All the best, man. Be good.
Shot clock at 4 and 3. He can do it again.
Hey, yes! Michael with 24.